Hi, everyone. I'm Celeste Headlee. Welcome to Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. In this episode, seasoned HR expert and author of the book Interviewology, Anna Papalia brings a really game-changing approach to mastering interviews. Anna is bringing a lot of very actionable insights, and we're also going to learn how to sidestep common pitfalls and embrace our own unique interview styles. The point is, we're going to learn to make an impression in our job interview. So let's get started. Before we get started on helping people learn how to do better interviews, can we just start with how often they're right in evaluating their own interviews? Because I find that often people's self-evaluations about how an interview has gone are not always accurate. I mean, in other words, sometimes people will come out of an interview thinking that it's bombed, and that's not always true. Why is that?
Well, I think it's the case for both job seekers and hiring managers. I think human beings are pretty bad at self-rating their own behavior. I think in the case of job seekers thinking that they bombed, it often comes from a place of anxiety and holding themselves to really high standards, thinking that they have to perform a certain perfect way in order to get the job, where most of the time being human is very attractive for hiring managers and candidates. For hiring managers, they often think that they've done a poor job because they're also holding themselves to impossibly high standards. It's this really ambiguous place that we both find ourselves, and that's really one of the reasons I wrote this book.
So, is there something that a hiring manager can do to allay the anxiety of a candidate? We often think about the candidates themselves, and there's all kinds of advice for candidates on things they can do to calm down. But is there something that the hiring managers can do?
Absolutely. So we often blame the candidates, right? They bombed the interview, but hiring managers bomb too. And it's really for the same reasons. 90% of hiring managers are never trained to interview.
Wait, I'm sorry. Could you give me that statistic again?
Unfortunately, 90% of hiring managers are never trained to interview. They tell us that they wing it, they Google it, they shadow someone, and then they just mimic their behavior. And that is not training. So some of the ways that a hiring manager can get better at this and also decrease any anxiety that they have in the interview process is to prepare. You know, usually the onus is on job seekers to prepare, but hiring managers have work to do as well. They need to think deeply about the job description, write great interview questions that are derived from the competencies required in the position, and administer structured interviews. That way, they can compare all of their candidates equally. Most hiring managers just go in to have a conversation. Maybe they are reading the resume in the actual interview for the first time, and they're asking all these different candidates, all these different questions. Maybe a hiring manager takes one candidate to breakfast and takes another candidate, you know, has a structured interview in the boardroom, and yet still another, maybe a Zoom interview. And then it's like really impossible to compare candidates that way. So you need to ask them all the same questions in the same environment. And that doesn't happen by accident. Hiring managers need to spend a good amount of time preparing for the interviews, as much time as job seekers spend.
How much of a difference does that make? I mean, if you have one candidate who, say, is very anxious, or one candidate comes in and the hiring manager has just come back after maybe a really stressful conference call or hasn't had their coffee yet, does it really make that big of a difference that it's going to make the difference between them getting the job or not?
Well, I think the difference in having structured interviews is that for you as a hiring manager, you do the prep ahead of time. You don't have to be thinking in the moment, now, what should I ask? What should I do? What behavioral question should I ask? You're not responding to each candidate individually. You're creating a structured approach. It's a more scientific approach. So it allows you to do the work ahead of time. And then when you're in the interview, you can take notes, you can observe, and you can trust that you have, you know, a process that you're relying on. Put it this way, most job seekers are looking for a job from anywhere from 3, 6 to 9 months. they go on anywhere from 20 to 40 interviews. If you're a hiring manager and you're doing it well, you should have low turnover, and perhaps you're only hiring maybe once a year. That means you will have less experience at the interview table than that job seeker. I don't want to be in that position. Just because you're in the position of power, I want to be equally prepared and ready. And that makes all the difference in the world when it comes to how do you evaluate candidates? But deeper still and more important, how do you know where your biases lie if you've never really thought deeply about it? And especially if you're not in interviews a lot, because that's when we learn how to interview, just like anything else, you're going to miss some important things if you don't have a structure and if you haven't thought deeply about it.
I have heard from some hiring managers, though, who really value the spontaneity of the unstructured interview. They like to get a feel for their candidate, right? They like it to be conversational. They like to get a gut feeling for a candidate. What's your response to that person?
Yes, I used to be that person. Absolutely. So previously, I was a director of talent acquisition, and I felt the same way. And then I left the corporate world and started a consulting firm, and I started teaching interview skills. And I collected a lot of research and I discovered interview styles. And yes, it is true that some hiring managers really like unstructured interviews. And those are most likely the extroverted hiring managers. Charmers and challengers really like having a conversation, seeing where it goes. But like I said before, it's really hard to compare candidates when you've just had different conversations with them. And what they're really doing, they're hiring for, do I like them? And that is a terrible place to hire somebody. Hiring for how you feel about someone, do I like them? Did I click with them? Is just really guys for, that's a bias. You're just trying to hire someone who is a mini me or someone that you like. What you really should be hiring for is, can they do the job? Are they going to be the best person for the department, for the company, for the role? Hiring managers very often fall into the trap of, well, it's just going to be easier for me to manage them because I like them. Mm. That's a problem. We don't need another you. We have you. We need diversity, and not diversity of race and gender, but we need diversity of thought as well. And that doesn't happen. And this is a big problem in interviews. If you're not training your hiring managers to be more open-minded, that's when organizations become truly diverse at the interview table. When you're making more open-minded decisions, it's less, do I like them? And it's more, can they do the job? Can I look past their interview, you know, behavior, their interview style? And when I had this key realization in the corporate world, everything shifted for me. I started to realize I was looking to click with candidates before, but that is not a requirement of an accountant. I don't need to click with my accountant. I need to make sure he gets the numbers correct, right? And it goes beyond, we make stereotypes and judgments about many jobs and many positions, and then we therefore extrapolate from someone's interview performance. But someone's interview performance is not a good indicator of whether or not they can do the job. And in discovering interview styles, I hope I've discovered a better language on how to talk about interviews. You know, debriefs can be all over the place with hiring managers. And often debriefs start with, well, I didn't like that candidate. That's not a great reason. How about we say something like, well, I'm a charmer in interviews and I prioritize making a connection and being liked. And this person came in sort of guns blazing and started asking me really tough questions without building rapport. That rubbed me the wrong way. That's a more productive conversation than I didn't like them.
Can you talk a little bit about the different interview styles? What are some of the common ones?
So there are four interview styles. Everyone interviews as either a charmer, challenger, examiner, or harmonizer. And they are all equally common to answer your question. I wrote a scientifically valid personality assessment that determines what your interview style is. And I'm very proud of the fact that there's an equal distribution of all of them. So not all realtors are charmers and not all African Americans are harmonizers. That's not the way it works. But a little bit more about each style. Charmers prioritize making a connection and they want to be liked in an interview. Challengers prioritize being heard and they want to feel respected. Challengers look at an interview like a cross-examination, like they're going to figure something out. examiners are more private and they at an interview like a test that they are either going to pass or fail. Very binary for examiners. And lastly, harmonizers, they prioritize adapting. They look at an interview like a tryout for a team that they want to join. And they're always thinking about the team or the group as a whole and how they might fit into it, which is much different than their polar opposite, that challenger who's always looking at it like, how am I going to show them that I'm qualified and who am I? And I want to be heard and respected. Harmonizers, on the other hand, are always talking about we and us.
Is there a different challenge for, depending on your interviewing style, does it make it more difficult to interview different people, different interviewees?
Well, every style has strengths and weaknesses. You know, charmers prioritize making a connection and wanting to be liked. They have to get out of their own way and realize that they often do want to like everyone, right? And so you have to be more choosy as a hiring manager. That's hard for charmers. Every style has a strength and weakness. And I go into strengths and overused strength in my upcoming book. And we outline each style in great detail.
So one of the things that you talk about is the difference between having real, honest self-awareness and just preparing for an interview. What is that difference?
Well, after 12 years of teaching people how to interview, after having been in the corporate world as a director of talent, I realized something very simple. An interview, in the most basic sense, is a set of questions about you. And even as a hiring manager, right? An interview is you have to understand where your biases come from. And the people that I saw do so well in interviews had mastered self-awareness. Because think about it, an interview is, why should we hire you? What are your strengths and weaknesses? Why do you want to work here? It's all self-awareness questions. The better you know yourself, the better you'll do in an interview.
If bias, if discrimination at least, is most commonly a product of unconscious bias, how do you get past that? If you're not aware of your own bias, how do you avoid expressing itself when you're interviewing someone?
Well, I think it's back to our earlier point on hiring managers not being prepared or trained to interview. You know, there's some great research out there that if you take the time to write down what you want ahead of an interview and write it out, you are more likely to hire that person and not be swayed by your unconscious bias. And there are many, many unconscious biases that happen in an interview. The halo effect, the just like me effect. We have a tendency to get swayed by these things because you meet a beautiful candidate, for example, someone who's dressed really well, a smooth talker, or you meet someone who has on their resume that they were a triathlete, or, you know, the star quarterback in college.
Or went to your same school, maybe.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Or you just have a lot in common, or you like them. So if you write down what you want ahead of time, and then maybe you have an accountability partner, or if you don't have an accountability partner, you use that list as your accountability. You look back on it. Does this candidate have all the things I want? Well, yes, they were in a great suit and they were charming and I really liked them. Actually, as I look on this list, they don't have any of the things I need for this job. And that honestly takes care of most of the hiring problems that we face when making decisions on who we're going to hire.
You're listening to a conversation with Anna Papalia on Women Amplified. If you're looking for more expert advice to help propel your career forward, make sure to check out our new Career Connections program. It is a free year-round resource that connects you to hiring managers at companies that support women. Plus, you'll get expert advice and networking opportunities that are updated quarterly. Check it out today at conferencesforwomen.org. Now, let's get back to our conversation. When you're writing out the job description for a job, there are also come up issues with just that, creating a job description. Can you talk a little bit about coming up with that list of how to create sort of what you're looking for?
It's a little beyond my scope. I've written many job descriptions in my life, but
I mean, the list of when you're preparing for that interview and you're coming up with a list of abilities, what you're looking for from that person, that can be problematic for some people because often they're looking for things like a good fit, a culture fit. They're looking for things which are a little bit more vague and end up being a synonym for likable. I guess that's what I mean.
Yeah, well, I think that that's the issue. I think that if you're looking for culture fit or anything that's vague is a problem. That is bias in disguise. Listen, if you're going to write a list of what you need, you can't be vague. It's just like anything else, right? You're going to write a dream list or a list of pros and cons. You can't be like, culture fit. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. That is just this disguise of like, they have to fit in. To what? With who? With the majority of people there? So that's what leads to very biased decision-making in the interview process. So I would caution anyone, because we know, and there's a lot of research on this, that ambiguity leads to bias. So the clearer you can get on not just your job descriptions, but competencies required for the position, and therefore questions that you're going to ask, the clearer your questions, the more direct, the more specific, the better your interviews will go.
So can you talk a little bit about coming up with those standardized questions? How does one go about doing that?
Well, you have to think deeply about the role, the team that you're hiring for, the department, the culture that this person will work in, competencies that are required for this person to be successful. Perhaps you had an incumbent in the role who was wonderful and went on and got promoted, and that's why the position is filled. And think a little bit about what made that person successful and kind of reverse engineer questions from there. Or perhaps you've had really bad employees in that role and you're like, okay, I need someone different. Let me reverse engineer from there. Or if it's a new position, those can be even harder to fill because you don't really know, you're starting from scratch. So you really have to think deeply about what's required. Okay, this job requires a lot of analytical skills. So I'm going to ask some questions about someone's analytical skills. Walk me through a time that you dealt with a problem. What if it's a client-facing issue, or this person does a lot of relationship building? Ask them specific questions about, tell me about a time you dealt with a tough customer or client, and walk me through how you dealt with that.
There are so many questions that one hears over and over and over in interviews. When I was preparing to talk to you, I looked up, I just put into Google worst questions that get asked in interviews. And I'm sure you've seen them over and over and over again, like, what are your biggest weaknesses? Why do you want to work here? Things like that. And some of the answers were pretty hilarious. Why do people end up relying on some of these, I guess, these questions that really don't tell them very much about whether someone is the right candidate or not?
Well, I have to disagree. I think that what are your weaknesses is one of the best interview questions.
Why?
I think it gets a really bad rap because when I've interviewed over 10,000 people.
Oof.
If I've asked someone what their weakness is and they can't tell me, that tells me more than anything else. Because an interview is your display of your self-awareness. If you can't tell me what you need to work on, if I am your prospective future manager, I am really hoping that you can give me some insight into some of the things that you're working on. If you give me some canned answer, if you Google this, most answers will say, you know, say you're a perfectionist. Like, you know, right off the bat, if this person is just like giving you a canned answer, or if they truly understand who they are and they can be vulnerable in that moment and say, you know what, this is one of my weaknesses and this is what I'm working on. This is how it's affected projects in the past. I've been mentored and coached by my last manager, and they were really helpful in this area. That's a great insight into someone.
I just feel like you're not going to get an honest answer to that.
Oh, I get honest answers all the time.
Really?
Sure. But here's the thing. If you don't get an honest answer, you know it. And that is an answer. Like if someone, one time I interviewed someone and I said, what's your weakness? And he said, I don't have one. And I said, well, looks like we just found one. Self-awareness. I joked. Like they're all of the answers are telling. The best answers are obviously the ones where you're like, oh, wow, this person knows who they are. And then they sometimes springboard into a conversation, right? Like if I were asked this, I would say that I am probably the most impatient person you'll ever meet. And it's taught me incredible lessons, but it also makes me really hard to work and live with. And if I'm interviewing with someone who's my prospective manager, they're going to appreciate the fact that I was so candid. And they're going to find out very quickly when they hire me that I was not lying.
I mean, there are other poor interview questions. Like I was asked once whether I would rather be Batman or Robin. There are people who've asked me where I live. There are people who've asked me what was the biggest weakness of my previous managers. Or the ones where they're like, what superpower would you choose? I just wonder why people rely on questions like that. I mean, they're the ones which are going to get them in legal trouble, things like, are you planning on having children or whatever? Those are different category. But there are ones that I don't know if they've taken a BuzzFeed quiz or something, and they're asking them questions that to me don't seem to have a whole lot of relation to whether that they're going to be a good candidate or not.
Now that I agree with very much. So those are called personality questions. Like if you were an animal, what type of animal would you be and why? Batman or Robin?
Right.
If you were a type of pasta, what type of pasta would you be? I find those have a time and place. And I do think that they are clever questions if it's the right role. Often hiring managers rely on asking those personality questions when they are interviewing a bunch of very scripted candidates and they are trying to get them to shock them a little bit, you know, like surprise them. You know, you ask them all the questions and they have all these canned answers. And you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, what type of animal would you be? And they're like, oh, what? I didn't see that coming. And what they're trying to do, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here in these situations, what they're trying to do is they're trying to see your real personality. They're trying to get you to open up. That's why they're called personality questions. Now, to answer your question, I think the worst interview questions are the personal ones where you're guising it as you're trying to get to know them. This often happens at small talk. I've interviewed with hundreds of hiring managers and I've seen most of them ask these inappropriate questions during that portion of the interview. So there's a difference between interview questions. Personality questions get to the heart of what makes someone tick, and I can understand why someone would ask those, right? They're trying to get to the heart of an issue. They're trying to shake someone up, right? Especially if someone's very scripted in an interview, they'll ask them something crazy like, what type of pasta would you be and why? And then, of course, I think that the worst interview questions to ask are those personal questions, often very inappropriate questions, and they don't feel really totally inappropriate at the time because they often happen during the kind of get to know you small talk portion of the interview. I've worked with hundreds of hiring managers, and this is often where they ask these questions when they're like, so where do you live? Oh, you know, your kids go to this school, and oh, so did my sister lives there, and what sports do they play on? And what they're looking for is this connection, which at the face of it sort of looks nice, right? But it really doesn't, because that's what creates closed cultures that are not diverse.
Yeah.
And this is a major problem. The future of interviewing is that we are going to be taking off addresses and colleges and even, you know, whole names. All you need is someone's first name and their work experience to figure out and to interview them and to figure out if they're a good fit for the organization. We rely too heavily on all this other stuff. Oh, we went to Harvard. He must be brilliant. Oh, she lives in this neighborhood. Or, you know, often hiring managers, male hiring managers will ask female candidates, what does your husband do? That's probably the least favorite interview question I've ever heard. It's totally inappropriate. You know, yeah. What does my husband have to do with what I can do in this position? And then they therefore extrapolate and make major assumptions about this person, especially this woman, and what she can do or what she won't do. Here's the other one. How many kids do you have? Because they make assumptions on, you know, how much time she'll be able to work and will she be the primary caregiver? Will she have to take PTO if her kids are sick? Oh, her husband's a doctor. He makes tons of money and they have four kids. We're not going to hire her. Mm. I've heard many hiring managers, male hiring managers, say things like this.
Okay. So for those who are out there and are, I mean, I can imagine some people might be thinking, wait, I do all these things. You've just basically taken away a lot of the things that are part of my routine. Mm-hmm. Now, this can be a little scary. Other than the advice, just get your forthcoming book. Where's a good place to start? I mean, is it the first 5 minutes of an interview? Is it the prep? What's the best place to get started?
Well, I'm a little biased, but I think the best place to get started is discovering your personal interview style. So you can go to my website, theinterviewology.com, take our scientifically valid interview style assessment, and discover your interview style. It is a 40-page customized interview prep workbook for job seekers or hiring managers. It'll walk you through the impression that you're making, everything that you're doing right and wrong in interviews. If you're a hiring manager and you get the hiring manager profile, it will walk you through all kinds of questions, the five types of interview questions, what not to ask, and how to come up with great questions for the jobs that you're recruiting for. I think the best first step, like I said before, is facilitating your self-awareness. And that's why I created the personality assessment and the accompanying document so you can get a really good understanding of who you are. Then from there, you can people read. You can figure out who other people are depending on the feedback they're giving you in interviews. And then my book coming out in January goes into all four interview styles. So I think the first step is figuring out who you are. Next step would be getting the book to understand all four styles. And then, of course, you can follow me on TikTok and Facebook for all of my free tips.
Okay. Anna, thank you so much for your time. This has been great. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
We really hope you enjoyed this insightful conversation with Anna Papalia on Women Amplified. You'll find a transcript at our website. It's conferencesforwomen.org/podcast. The Conferences for Women is the largest network of women's conferences in the nation. They draw more than 55,000 women and men to annual events in Boston, Philadelphia, Austin, and California, and online. I'm Celeste Headley, and this is Women Amplified from the Conferences for Women. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and be well.